You're listening to 89.1 WEMU, and this is Art and Soul. This is Lisa Berry, and this week Art and Soul is about the art of well-being, ways to feel balanced, emotionally strong, and conversations about how to be okay, or maybe just be. Our guest is an Ann Arbor psychologist, University of Michigan assistant professor of psychiatry, director of the mindfulness-based cognitive therapy program for anxiety and depression at U of M, and a researcher. We could go on and on. He's got so many different things going on, and we're very honored for Dr. Tony King to join us for this conversation. Welcome.
Well, thank you very much. I'm very honored to be here. Thank you.
As we start to see the light at the end of the tunnel from this past year in a pandemic, I think well-being has really been a challenge for a lot of people. Have you seen an increase in need for this type of emotional and well-being support recently?
So, absolutely. And as I think we could all recognize and understand, the stress of the pandemic has really expressed itself in so many different ways, disrupting our normal patterns and of habits and our normal schedules and the isolation. So in the anxiety disorder program clinic where I'm a staff psychologist, we've seen a really large increase in people seeking treatment. And I think that's reflected nationwide, really worldwide. People are under stress and people are feeling a lot of worry and anxiety. And a lot of the worry is quite reasonable. I mean, we're worried about getting sick. We're worried about friends and family potentially getting sick, and we're worried about the financial difficulties that many of us are facing.
Can you give us any advice or methods on how to deal with that?
Yes, let's hope so. So I said the stressors that we're feeling are not in our heads. These are real things, and they're real difficulties that many people are facing, and it's sort of there's a inequality as well, of course, as we all know, in the types of stressors that people are facing. But what I think can be helpful is, of course, I mean, very simple, self-care, taking time to do some healthy things, to do some relaxation and exercise. But while these stressors are quite real, it's also important to recognize how they kind of can get under our skin. They can get in our head. And this is something whereas there's a lot that we don't have control over in terms of when we're going to get a vaccination, what is going to happen with our jobs, we can develop some level of control over how these real things sort of get under our skin and affect us.
We haven't been able to go many places in the past year, so I think a lot of us have been spending a lot of time in our own head. So is it a matter of getting out or just thinking alternate thoughts, or what direction do we head?
Well, it's a really good question. Yeah, I mean, I myself spend a lot of time just staring at my, the glowing rectangle of my computer.
Right.
And trying, but I try to push myself to, like, get outside and walk. So I'm walking like 2 to 3 miles a day now, which is kind of nice. But I think there are certain types of things that we can do to kind of recognize when the stress and worry is starting to impact us. And I think this is some of the basic techniques that we teach at the Anxiety Disorder Clinic are really about this. And these are coming from what we call cognitive behavioral therapy. And as you mentioned, I'm also kind of a big fan and work with something called mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, the goal of which is really to try to take some effort to notice what is happening in our mind right now. And interestingly, a good way to find out what's happening in our mind is to try to bring our attention to what's happening in our body. The reason for this is, of course, our minds time travel quite a bit. I mean, it's a unique and wonderful human capacity that we have to be able to, kind of put ourselves in the past, to have what's called episodic memories, remembering things, how they might be useful in the present moment, or also project ourselves into the future. So this is an extraordinary, wonderful capacity that human minds have that I think evolutionarily has been quite adaptive, quite helpful for learning, for being able to recognize patterns, for being able to plan. The problem is that sometimes we kind of spend too much of our time in our head. We spend too much of our time in the future. It can become worry. It can become anxiety as opposed to something helpful. Similarly, people who are struggling with depression or self-criticism, when they think about the past, it's often not a safe and friendly kind of exercise. It can be quite distressing, thinking about every single thing that you did wrong. What a goof. I can't believe I did that. I mean, we've all kind of been there to different extents. So I think what can be helpful for helping to bring ourselves into the future is to spend some time sort of not doing that, ironically, by as Ram Dass famously said, being here now. And a lot of the mindfulness-based cognitive therapy techniques that we teach are really about that, about doing really simple things like noticing our bodies, doing some gentle stretching, doing some breathing exercises where the goal is not to breathe in a particular way or even to exercise in a particular way, but to try to bring yourself into the present moment, because very often in the present, you know, we might worry about things that are going to happen in the future, and they might happen, but we can have a lot of anxious kind of misery about something that might happen, but very often it might not happen.
And you do a lot of research into this. Are these proven methods to help us deal and stay in the present moment?
So I think so. I mean, I think that, you know, as a researcher, I'm sort of very often I'm hesitant to say anything's proven, but I think there's a lot of evidence that these techniques are helpful. I mean, certainly what's called cognitive behavioral therapy, which involves sort of being able to name our own emotions, being able to sort of recognize our patterns of thought, I think have been around for 50 years, and I think have served a lot of people. Mindfulness approaches also bring in this idea of metacognition, or this ability to be aware of your thoughts and feelings and being able to recognize them as mental events and not necessarily the truth. Yeah, so in a sense, I mean, if you want to be kind of philosophical about it, everything that's happened in our head is just that. It's a mental event, whether it's a sensation, whether it's a smell, whether it's a memory, whether it's a self-criticism, or whether it's an emotion. And they happen a lot, right? So we have, you know, thousands and thousands of mental events. Where it gets tricky is if we're sort of in a what-if situation, imagining some catastrophic thing that might happen. It feels very, very real, when in fact, it's a mental event. It's something that might happen, it might not happen. So the goal of mindfulness is really to kind of notice these patterns of whether it's self-criticism or whether it's anxiety or anxious misery, and bring yourself back. And so I say, well, what's actually happening right now?
And does this take a lot of self-awareness to accomplish?
So to be fair, it does. And there's a joke in mindfulness-based stress reduction that, you know, some of these stress reduction exercises can be a little bit effortful and even a little bit stressful. Right? You can think of it as going to the gym and working out. Sometimes you get some muscle aches. It does take effort. But we also think that, like going to the gym, you do get a payout. And the payout that you get is an ability to kind of notice when your mind is spinning out, or notice when you're sort of just sitting there and you're just criticizing yourself so much for when it's not really fair. People have a tendency to be much more critical with themselves than they would be with anybody else. In regard to research, what we found is people who do, you know, 8 weeks of mindfulness meditation for anxiety or for PTSD as part of the therapy, they actually start to see changes.
We've learned a lot in this short time and really appreciate everything you've shared with us, time travel, mental events, and being in the present moment. Dr. Tony King from the University of Michigan, thanks so much for talking to us on this edition of Art and Soul.
Well, it's absolutely my pleasure.